Good morning, church. Great to see each one here. We have some visitors, and we certainly are glad to have you with us. It's a great day. We've been blessed with some good rains that have been very, very beneficial to everybody. We've been blessed with pretty good health for most of us, and that we ought to be grateful for, because we have those that are less fortunate. It's great to be a part of this family here at Sunrise. We've been together for quite a number of years. Some of us was about this age when we started, and now we're this age. But it's great, and I've been so blessed having good friends and people around me. And I hope this continues. As we begin service, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're indeed thankful for the blessings that we've had through life, for the good times, for the trying times, and for just the fact that we live in this part of the country where things change daily, but we can endure, that we can hopefully make things better in the days to come. Our prayer is that we'll continue to trust in the Word, and that we can help to build those up around about us, that we can help those that are less fortunate than we. Again, we ask you to be with each of us as we or here in this assembly, and be with those that are unable to be with us today. Watch over those that are traveling, those that are out on the highways, and give them safety. Now be with us through this service here today. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let every heart rejoice and sing, let choral anthems rise. Ye aged men and children, bring to God your sacrifice. For he is good, the Lord is good, and kind are all his ways. With songs and honor sound, song in preparation for the reading of Scripture. Speak, O Lord.
scripture reading today is Isaiah 8, 3 through 15. There are going to be some names that I butcher. We try. But the song we just sang, my family's and others have had a tough week. A lot of things have happened. And a lot of people blame themselves for what has happened. Or why could God let me this happen? As the song says, God lets things happen to us so others may learn. Others will see our response. They will see his light. It's not always a punishment. From what I can tell, God doesn't care what you have done, who you were. It matters what you believe and who you are today. So, for those of you that have unexpected car troubles or things that keep you from happening or doing what you want, sometimes he does that to protect you. There's been many times I've had a car act up that if I had left when I wanted to go and been where I wanted to be, I might not be here today because there have been major accidents that he has physically stepped in and said, "Not you ain't going." There's health issues that we can't explain. We're mostly healthy, and then something happens. But those that stand by their faith, do they not show you God's strength when they're facing their adversity? So, don't know why that song brought that up, but it did. So, on to the reading. And I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to me, call his name Mahar Shalah Hasbah. For before the boy knows how to cry, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the spoils of Samaria will be carried away before the king of Assyria. The Lord spoke to me again, because this people has refused the waters of the Shiloh that flow gently and rejoice over the Rezin and the son of Remaliah. Therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing up against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria and all his glory, and it will rise over all its channels and go over all its banks, and it will sweep into Judah. It will overflow and pass on, reaching even to the neck, and its outspread wings will fill the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Be broken, you people, be scattered. Give ear, all your far countries. Strap on your armor and be scattered. Strap on your armor and be scattered. Shattered. Take counsel together, and it will come to nothing. Speak a word, and it will not stand. For God is with us. Fear God. Wait for the Lord. For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Dear Heavenly Father, we are truly blessed to be called here into your presence, to be loved by you, We pray that we hear your word today and Michael's lesson. We pray that we feel the comfort of the body. We thank you so much for giving us life, and we thank you so much for being our light in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing this song.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy.
Let's sing now in preparation for the Lord's Supper.
Reading along, let's read together Exodus chapter 12, verses 11 through 13. Exodus chapter 12, verses 11 through 13. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This was stated to Moses by God right before the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn in Egypt. Israel was in captive, and God was fixing to deliver them from Egypt. And this was during their Passover, which was to commemorate and to remember that this is when they were delivered from death. Same thing happens with us and with Jesus in the Lord's Supper. This is to remember that we were delivered from death, and we were bought with the price on the cross that Jesus paid for us. I know I keep bringing up Exodus a lot, but just it works well with it. I mean, it's a glimpse of what they had, a glimpse of what we get to have eternally. I find it ironic that they said, interesting that they said to eat it in haste. We're called by Jesus to proclaim the gospel with a sense of urgency, because we know that soon, God's going to destroy what is not of Him. But we have been delivered from His wrath, and that we get to have hope eternally. And this is something that we remember by, as He stated, that when we take this bread and drink of this cup, we do proclaim His death until He comes back. And that we do this in remembrance of Him. And so the word that just keeps coming to mind for me at least is deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. I mean, this was something that we couldn't do on our own. Just like Israel, when they were facing Pharaoh's army, even after they had left Egypt and gotten to the Red Sea, they couldn't go any farther. And so God had to provide the way for them so that they would not be killed and overrun. Jesus did the same for us on the cross so that we would not have to deal with hell in the end, but have hope in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day that you bless us. We thank you for this life that you bless us with. God, I pray that as we partake and remember your son's death, that we do so with great thankfulness that you've delivered us from something that if you really wanted to, you didn't have to do. But God, we thank you that you loved us so much to do it, because the cost really was great. Be with us as we partake of this bread at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to give thanks to God. Father God, as we continue to thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross and that you raised your son up from the dead, we pray that as we partake of his blood that we do so knowing the freedom we have in you by faith, and that when you come back, that faith will become sight. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that the world likes to accuse the church of being a bit hypocritical about is that we just like to grab everybody's money and spend it in ways that, you know, wouldn't reflect what we teach about God. That's not true. I think everybody in here knows that. When we give of food, clothing, our treasure financially, we do so in faith knowing that it's going to be a blessing to somebody else. We bless people with food. We bless people with clothing. And we even bless, sometimes we bless people by helping them pay a bill or two that they may not be able to afford. And so it is used for the glory of God. And as we go to God with this, we will trust Him that it will continue to be used for His glory. So as we give, we do so cheerfully, knowing that we're going to be a blessing of God to somebody else. Let's pray. Father God, as we do give to You, we know we can't give back enough for what You have done for us, but with what we do give, God, let us continue to be a blessing to other people and to continue to share Your gospel in their lives so that they will continue to grow and become closer to You and be one of Yours, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This being the first Sunday of the month, something we do here at the Body of Sunrise, for those who are visiting, is we have missionaries that we do support through financial means overseas. Hui in Brazil is one of those that we support. This is to help further the kingdom overseas as well as here locally. So just join me in prayer as we pray for this offering. God, we thank You for blessing us with the ability to be supportive of others who need the support to share Your good news among all the nations around the world. Be with us as we give some of what we have to continue furthering this, and that everything we do, God, it will always be to glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen.
On Zion's glorious summit stood Amun-Ra. Jehovah's host redeemed. My blood thank him, their king in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Here all who suffered sword or flame for truth or Jesus' lovely name shout victory now and hail the Lamb and bow before the great I Am and bow before the great I Am while everlasting ages roll eternal love shall feast their soul and scenes of bliss forever new rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to their view. Oh, what a sweet exalted song when every tribe and every tongue redeemed by blood with Christ appear and join in one full chorus there and join in one full chorus there. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts on high adored, who like me thy praise should sing. Oh, almighty King, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high adored, holy, holy, holy.
Morning, church.
Morning.
It is good to see you. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful to come into your presence today. Father, I pray right now that if our hearts, our minds, our souls are distracted within us, I pray that you fix us upon you. Father, we confess that throughout our week, throughout our lives, we give so much thought to everything in this world. We spend so little time looking clearly into your truth. So I pray that you settle our hearts, that you open our eyes, that we may see you clearly. Father, I pray that your word today will be effective. I pray that your word today will guide our steps, will invigorate our faith, will once again show us the reason why we follow you and love you, will once again give us the power and the strength to trust you in all situations. Blessed be your name. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Truth will not go away. Some will try to hide it. Some will try to cover it up. Some will try to distort it, deny it. That's the interesting thing about truth. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. You think about all the times in the Old Testament when God's people had gone astray from his word. And when I say all the times, over and over and over. They forgot who God was. They forgot his law. They forgot his word. And how many times did God have to bring calamity on them? And they finally went, oh, okay, we should go check out back in the temple and see what God says about things. And then they go out and they would dig it up and dust it off and say, oh, huh, God's not too excited about how we're living. So let's repent. See, it doesn't matter how much is hidden. It doesn't matter how much people try to change things. The truth is not going anywhere. In fact, it often comes back with a vengeance. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes to the church, Ephesians 4, 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. God is over everything. That is truth. Now, the world is trying to deny it. The world has always tried to deny it. They want to be free of the shackles that God would put upon him, upon themselves. They want to be free to do whatever they want, to live however they want. And yet, church, I know that I'm speaking to you, the church, and at times you and I are tempted to be free of what we are tempted to call God's shackles. But see, in Jesus Christ, God has given us freedom from sin. We are no longer in control of the world's ways that lead to death. And so we recognize the one God. We recognize the one Father over all things. And we pray and we cry out and we say, God, we wish it was easier. We wish it was better. We want to see everyone make the confession that we make. We pray that a lot, don't we? Come back soon. In this suffering, fix things that aren't right. Of course, as believers, we tend to forget the very important message that God has always given and that Jesus Christ gave his followers. I'll take care of those things you tell people about me. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that we want to ignore what God has actually given us to do while here in faith, while we want to do his work? And we ignore the work that he has specifically given us to do. Well, today's story is going to help us remember this truth. Back in Isaiah chapter 8 that Kevin read for us, Isaiah chapter 8, God tells Isaiah that the Assyrian king will carry away Damascus and Samaria. Now, these cities and regions are in the north. This is his great punishment, or what we would call the Assyrian exile. This happened in the 720s BC. God has had enough of his people not being faithful to him and living their lives following everything else and all other false gods that people had come up with in this world. He's finally had enough and said, no more. You people can't even carry my name because you worship me, and then you leave my temple and you go worship a high place. You go worship an Asherah. Again, pillars, built up places in the land. Offer sacrifice. Pray to this God who brings rain. Pray to this God who blesses crops. Pray to this God and offer your children as sacrifice. Now, again, horrific things that we can't even imagine, right? We would never do that. We would never do that. And how personal do you want it to be? How personal do you want God's truth to reach across the years and the ages and hit you right in the heart and right between the eyes? We don't offer our kids to false gods. Really? I say we do a pretty healthy job of letting the enemy have his say with our kids. I think that's fair. And we're okay with it. We're okay with it. So we're not immune. And here God says, look, I've had enough. So I'm going to bring in an evil nation to come in and put you in your place. You don't trust me. You don't believe me. You don't follow me. So fine. So really, what matters? If you're not going to follow me, what does it matter what happens to you? So he tells Isaiah, I'm bringing in the Assyrians. Verse 11. He gives Isaiah this warning, and this is before this happens, and he gives this Isaiah this amazing warning. He says, do not, well, in verse 11, he warned me not to walk in the way of this people. Do not be like the people around you. Do not be like the people around you. That's his warning. That's his warning. He says, don't call conspiracy what they call conspiracy. Now, believe me, I spent more time with this one verse this week than all the rest of it. Because I love a good conspiracy theory. Love it! And I wish that was a great interpretation. Ah, it's not. It's not. A better interpretation is confederacy. Confederacy. In other words, when people are saying, hey, this is a good idea to join with these other people, don't do it. Don't do it, and this will become very clear when we go to the heart of our story today. He says, do not fear or dread what these people fear. Don't do it. You do not be afraid of what the world is afraid of. That is not who you are. Instead, fear God. Fear God. Because God alone is your sanctuary. God alone is your protection, your hedge. Now, it's an interesting thing, and you and I wrestle with this all the time, because God says, look, I'm the only one in the end that can protect you. And so if we fear God more than we fear what anything that this world can do to us, we will obey God. Because you ultimately obey the one that you fear. And again, our connection to God through Jesus Christ is not one in which we are walking around with our shoulders slumped and we do not live in a constant state of panic or worry. That's not the idea of fearing God. But fearing God is respecting his power enough that we will obey him and be faithful to him. Because whatever it is you fear the most, that's who you're going to live for. Whatever it is that gets your fear buttons going, that's who you're going to appease. Just make it stop. Make the fear go away. I don't like the unrest. I don't like being unsettled in my heart, in my mind, or in my life. So just make things easy. I just want it to go away. How much of our lives do we spend just wishing things would go away, right? I love the quiet days, the peace and the quiet. And as soon as something falls apart or happens that I'm not used to or that I don't like, Lord, please just make it go away. Make it end, make it stop. Fix this problem. God says, I am the only one who can protect you. So you fear me and not what those people around you fear. Their fear causes them to be controlled by those who are not me. Great warning. A great warning. And we see all of this play out in 2 Kings 18. That's going to be our text this morning. 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. Now, amazing couple of chapters. And if you want to go back this afternoon or this evening, I would suggest starting in 2 Kings chapter 17 and kind of going all the way through 19. 17 through 19. We don't have time to read all that this morning, but I would go back and read 17, 18, and 19 and get the big picture of what's going on here. I'll give you a taste. Assyria, just as God has told Isaiah, and again, back here in 2 Kings chapter 18, Isaiah's around, okay? He's told Isaiah this is going to happen, and now it's happening. God says Assyria is going to come down, and here in 2 Kings, we see this. God has said, you turned away from me. You turned away from me, so I'm going to bring something evil in to punish you. I'm going to use their evil nature to do what they do best, and that is mock you and fight against you and destroy you. And so it happens. And so Assyria is just trucking down through the north of Israel, just going, and they're fighting. They're warring, and they're just taking over territory, and they're taking over city, and they're going further and further and further down. And God has removed the hedge of protection against his people. They chose not to be faithful to them, so he says, I don't care what happens to you anymore. You don't love me. You don't care about me. I'm going to leave you on your own. And so the Assyrians are coming down from the north, and they're fighting, and they're fighting, and they're fighting. But, and this is amazing, this is absolutely amazing, we see in 2 Kings chapter 18, there's a faithful king in the south. Whew. There's one faithful king in Judah, and that's who we're going to see this morning. Because this one faithful king, in fact, 2 Kings 18, 1, in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Verse 3, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. So all these other towns and provinces and areas are being taken over by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians are just doing what they do. They're going further south, and they're going to run into a faithful king, Hezekiah. Let's drop it down to verse 25, because what happens down here is they get to Jerusalem, and the king's spokesman comes out. And again, this is another one of those awesome scenes in the Bible. It kind of reminds you of David and Goliath, where Goliath would go out every day and mock Israel and say, who do you got to fight against me today? And so you get this great scene. So the Assyrian king, he sends his spokesman. His spokesman's standing there before the walls of Jerusalem. And he's saying, we all know how this is going to go. You're next. So I'm going to offer you a deal. I want you to hear the promises of the mouthpiece of the king of Assyria. 2 Kings 18, let's go to verse 25. This is what he says. Moreover, is it without the Lord that I have come up against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. The Assyrians are sent by God. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Do not speak to us in the language of Judah within the hearing of the people who were on the wall. But the Rabshakeh said to them, has my master sent me to speak these words to your master and to you and not to the men sitting on the wall who are doomed with you to eat their own dung and drink their own urine? Then the Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah. Here it is. He's calling out to those who were standing on the wall. Before the army comes, this is what you need to hear. Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you out of my hand. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me. Then each one of you will eat of his own vine, and each one of his own fig tree, and each one of you will drink the water of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land that's like your own land. A land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. All of this is so that you can live and not die. And do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you by saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Ivah? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people were silent and answered him not a word, for the king's command was, do not answer him. All right, so here's the mouthpiece of the king of Assyria. He's come down. There hasn't been much resistance. They've been successfully going through God's land, destroying cities, taking people over. Now, all the promises that you hear him say, like, oh, we're going to take you to a land that's just as good as the land that you already had. I read a little bit of history about how the Assyrians did things. The Assyrians, after they captured a city, they had a wonderful way of... They had a wonderful way of piercing the lip and piercing the nose and tying a chain onto it and making their enslaved people walk behind them while they're on their horses and drag them away. These are empty promises that Assyria is giving. Look, peace and safety. You hear the words of Jesus Christ echoing, right? You hear the words of the apostles when people are saying, peace and safety, then I'm going to come like a thief in the night. And it's always hardest to figure out, oh, wait, who's saying peace and safety? Who is it that's saying peace and safety when Jesus is going to return? Is it your preacher? Your preacher says, hey, you are washed in the blood of Jesus. We are at peace with God and we are safe for all eternity. Is it those in our government? Is it world and earthly powers who are saying, hey, peace and safety, we're all good. We're going to take care of everything. Trust us. The king of Assyria is trying to paint slavery with a new brush and say, just come with us. Just give up because no one else has been able to stand against us. You're not going to be able to stand either. So just make the choice to not fight. And when Hezekiah, your king, when he says God is going to be with us, don't be tricked by him. Look at all the towns we've already destroyed. Look at all the bad that's already happened. Now, church, you know the enemy does this, right? The enemy's still doing this today. Look, God didn't deliver them. God didn't deliver them. What chance do you have? What chance do you possibly have against standing against your enemies? Do you really think God is going to deliver you? I do. I do because I trust God, just like Hezekiah did. Just like Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, I'm not going to fall and be like these other nations. Hezekiah was one of those kings that when put in place in his early 20s, he had to go and he had to do the reforms because God's people were not living right. So he had to tear things down. He had to take away the things that made them look and appear just like all the other nations of the world. He's already done these reforms and he says, we're going to worship God and God alone. We're going to be faithful to God. So, The enemy is at the gate, and they basically say, give in, and all the suffering will stop. Church, quick question. Who's causing all of Israel's suffering in this story? Who's the cause of the suffering? themselves because they haven't been faithful. Right? And who does God use to bring such suffering? The Assyrians. And the spokesman for the Assyrians say, hey, all of these troubles that you're having will all go away if you just give in. Church, you don't think we're tempted with the very same thing? You don't think we are tempted with the very same thing today? The ways of this world look at you and your kids and your family and our church and our nation and say, hey, just go along. It's going to be good. Just go along. All the suffering can be over. Just do what we say and we're going to provide for you. We're going to take care of you. Look at this point. Look at the evidence. If there is any more suffering that you're going through, that's really on you because we're offering you the olive branch of peace. Church, my prayer is that your ears are open to the lies of the enemy that have been from the beginning. So Hezekiah turns to God. Let's go into 2 Kings 19. Isaiah shows up and he says to Hezekiah, okay, look, things are going to be okay. They get a letter that says this is how bad we're going to destroy you because you're not going along. So Hezekiah says, okay, I'm going to take this straight to God. I'm going to take this straight to God because he is the only one that can take care of this. Before we get into that, go back to chapter 18 because I want to see something real quick. Look at the promises. Look at the promises that the Rabshakeh gave in, we're in 18 around 28, 29. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He will not be able to deliver you. Don't let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Make your peace with me. Now, when we read back in Isaiah chapter 8, do not call confederacy what the people call confederacy. Do you not think the people were hearing this speech inside the walls going, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I mean, we can save our skins. We can be safe. We can kind of, okay, so maybe they're going to relocate us for a while, but they're going to take care of us. Maybe they're going to take us out of our homes and take us out of what God has blessed us with and put us somewhere else. But you know, there's olives there, so how bad can it be? Do not call confederacy what the people call confederacy. Do not be afraid of what the people are afraid of. So I'm looking at the horses and the chariots and the spears of the Assyrian army, and I'm hearing them offering me a deal, and this is exactly what God warned Isaiah of in back in Isaiah chapter 8. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for those promises. So, now we can go to chapter 19. So Hezekiah, who is faithful, goes to the house of the Lord. And let's pick it up in verse 14. 2 Kings 19:14. Here's his response. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messenger and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord. He spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they were destroyed. So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. Deliver us, Hezekiah says to God, so everyone will know that you are God. Deliver us, please. Save us from this trouble so that you may be glorified in all the earth, so that everyone will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are the only true God Every other god is false. It's not real. It's made by human hands. It doesn't mean anything. You can't build anything and then exalt it above yourself. If you build it, it's beneath you. It's your creation. And so Hezekiah goes to the creator of heaven and earth. He goes to the one who rules over everything. It is all yours, so please save us so that we can tell other people how awesome you are. Church, how often do we ask for deliverance but forget to share his glory for others to see? Fair? Fair. Save us, save us, save us. Well, how are you today? Much better, yeah. Yeah, it all cleared up, or it went away, or I'm good. I don't know. I read over and over and over again, there is a pattern. Every time God's people cried out for salvation, they said, God, look, please do this because the world needs to know that you are God. Church, I think it's something we've lost, but I don't think it's something that should be lost. I think a very important part of the idea of us crying out to God for salvation is then doing what benefits him, and that is letting others know that there is one God and he is in charge of all things, and we will not fear or dread what the world fears or dreads, but God will deliver us. And when he delivers us, we will praise his holy name. We will give him all glory and thanks and praise because the world needs to know how good and how powerful he is. Good. Every single one of our lives are blessed beyond measure, and we have seen and tasted that the Lord is good. Why is that not our soundtrack? Why is that not the song accompanying our daily lives? God is good. Look what he delivered me from. Look what he delivered me from. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus kind of helps us, I guess, flesh this out for a new covenant people, for Christians, for followers of Jesus. In Luke chapter 12, go to verse 4. Oh, I need you to read chapter 19. God delivers them. He answers the prayer. He shows up. He smites 180,000 Assyrians in one night. Boom. Gone. And remember that whole king of Assyria? Yeah, he's in northern cities fighting, and he's just sending his mouthpiece to do his dirty work. And so he's in the northern cities. Yeah, well, he gets killed too by people that are close to him. You know the amazing thing about evil? We fear and dread evil in this world, don't we? Can't believe who's in charge. Can't believe who's in control. Hey, it's usually not the mouthpiece that you need to fear. And the great thing about evil, they devour their own as well. History is long. The Assyrian king gets killed by those who are close to him. God takes care of Israel. He protects the southern tribes because Hezekiah will not give in. And so here in Luke chapter 12, Jesus comes along and he says for his followers to hear in verse 4, look, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, but after, they have nothing more that they can do. But I'll warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast in hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. Isn't that comforting? You are worth more value. You are better than a sack full of birds. That's very comforting to me. You are very valuable to God. Nothing escapes His sight. But Lord, it's hard, and it's tempting, and it's painful, and it's uncomfortable, and it's scary. All that fear, and all that scary, and all that thing that tempts to lead you away, that's a lesser power. That's not God. That's not God. You do not need to fear people. Now, church. We messed this one up, didn't we? We fear. We fear what they fear. We dread what they dread. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. Look, I could talk for 2 straight hours on 2020 alone. But I'm just talking about our lives. We fear what they fear. What am I going to do about my health? What am I going to do about my money problems? What am I going to do about my family issues? What am I going to do about my work? What am I going to do about this problem and this problem and this problem? And fear and dread, and it just overcomes us. Do not fear them. Do not fear them. Fear God. Fear God because God is above everything and it's all His. I want you to hear your own voice. If you are a child of the Almighty God, right now, give your amen. I know. I hate being dramatic. So against my nature. But if you are a child of the Almighty God, give your amen.
Amen.
Good, because I think he has a better chance of hearing that second one. He is above all, he is over all, and he knows how to save. Do you honestly think the people that brought the virus are going to give you the solution to the virus? Really? Destruction, destruction, destruction. Hey, don't fear the destruction we're bringing. We have a way out. Rings a bell. We've seen this before. We've seen this before. And why do we study history? So we go, we've seen this before. So don't fear what they fear. Don't fear what they fear. Church, I've got a news flash for you, and this is why I get ramped up. 2020 was not the end of it. The enemy is not done bringing the heat to God's children. It's going to get hot. It's going to get hot, and it's going to get uncomfortable. And you and I are going to have more moments in our life where we are standing upon that wall and the enemy's crying out to us, hey, you don't want to be destroyed, so join us. We'll take care of you. And you and I cannot be the ones who go, you know, this sounds like a good deal. They're promising salvation over there and they look pretty strong, so I think we should go along. I think we should go along. Do not do it. Do not call confederacy or even conspiracy what they call confederacy or conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread what they dread. Because God is more powerful than all of them. Now, after saying this, we're going to continue. We're going to finish up with these last verses, okay? Whew, sigh of relief, I know. Because right after... Diane, did you just look at the clock? Did you? Look at verse 8. Look what Jesus says immediately after all of this reassurance and letting us know not to fear the world. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I'm in Luke 12:8, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say. Acknowledge him when he delivers you. No one drawing breath in this room this morning is exempt from God's deliverance up to this moment, this day, this situation. We have all been delivered. We have all been delivered. So acknowledge him. That's what he's looking for. Don't be afraid when they take you in front of the courts or the powers that be. Don't be worried about what are you going to say? What are you going to do? The Holy Spirit will give you word. The Holy Spirit will let you know exactly what to say. But Jesus, I've never listened to the Holy Spirit before. If that's your response, you got some work to do. If the Holy Spirit's not speaking to you on a regular basis, then good luck hearing something when you really need to hear it. Jesus would say, hey, look, if it's difficult while I'm here, how do you think it's going to be when I go back? Oh, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. And we think we don't experience the rough, right? No, it's all peace and happy, and we're here this morning, and I mean, honestly, you're not wearing a mask. You are free once again to join the ranks and worship and praise any God that you want to. Church, the enemy has seen what he can do. And to be quite honest, the enemy has seen how feckless the church is. That word means ineffective. He's looked at us and gone, look what they let me do. Look what they've let me do. The next round's going to be worse. We are in a battle. This is warfare. And the next round's going to be more painful. It's going to be more painful. It really is. So who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust? And what are you going to do when God delivers you? What are you going to do? We're going to give him all glory and praise. God is above all things. And God saves and rescues us from all fear and dread. God has the power of judgment, just like Jesus says. You know, and I love this promise. And when you're living for him, I know we have families and responsibilities and things that we love and things that we care about. So it's kind of scary for us to face death. I know where I'm going, but just not yet. You know, we like to dictate the terms, right? We bargain with God. You ever had a major health scare? Please don't let this be it. Please don't let this be it. I'm not ready. At whatever age you are, whatever stage you are, this can't be it. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. So look, whatever it is that will take your life, Jesus, our Lord and Savior says, don't be afraid of that. You be afraid of the one who gets to judge in the end. You be afraid of the one who is going to set things right. You be afraid of the one who can say into the king of Assyria's ear, hey, go destroy all these towns. I'm going to make it easy for you. Don't sweat it. You're doing my work. So go ahead. The one that we serve has all power and judgment, but the one that we serve also offers all repentance. So praise be to God for that. And turn back to it. Turn back to it. Wherever it is, wherever you are, whatever it is you got. Church, it's time. It's time. The faith that we had for the last year, I promise you, it's not going to be enough. It's not. It's not. Because it's going to get hotter. It's going to get more painful. It's going to become difficult. The bounds that have been holding evil back in our society are being loosened. You notice this, right? Right? Yeah. You're scared. For yourself, for your children, for your safety. Crime rates are... I love the explanation for Lubbock. I heard this the other day. Well, you know, it's an anomaly year. An anomaly? Why? So everyone will say, just get us back to normal. Just get us back to normal. That's what the world wants. Just make it safe and get us back to normal. This place is not a safe place, church. And the fact that you and I have enjoyed its safety is really just evidence of the fact that we were standing on that wall going, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good deal. That guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Surely he won't hurt us. Oh, I mean, forget all of our neighbors and cousins and all those other towns that have been destroyed. I mean, you know, facial piercing's kind of in these days anyway, so I wouldn't look too bad with a lip ring. Or being drugged by it on a chain hundreds of miles to a new place. But I'm sure once we get there, that whole honey and olives is going to be fantastic. Church, know who you serve. Be sure of your allegiance. Trust in God and God alone. Because in the end, he's the only one that stands and all who stand with him. If you need to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, we invite you to come. If you need prayers for strength, we invite you to come. It's not going to be good enough for you and I just getting along with what we got going on. It's time. It's time to take our faith seriously. Because only serious faith is going to make it. Because it's going to be tested. It already has been. It already has been, and it's going to be tested more. It's going to be tested more. The world's a darker place than what it was just a short while ago. Things are happening. Things are squeezing in. Okay? Now is not the time to just go through the motions or just think, oh, it's peace and safety. It's time. If you need to respond this morning, the invitation's open. Let's stand together and sing.
What a blessing to be here today. Michael, thank you for words of inspiration. Several things that need to be brought to our attention. But first of all, I want to welcome those who are visiting with us. Lisa has her two of great niece and great nephew, Max and Maureen, visiting with her. We have had Sherry's cousins and sister and brother-in-law, Jennifer, Vicky, Deanne, and Butch, with us this weekend. We've had a good time, and so those that are traveling want to remember them in our prayers. We have several of our family that are not with us today. Imagine they are taking advantage of the summer break, and they are traveling on the roads as well. Those remember on our prayer list that are suffering from health issues, Buzz Hagler, who was a former member here. We want to remember the Robert Hooten family, which is a friend of Oren's. He had one grandfather that passed away. He has another grandfather that is dealing with heart issues. We want to continue to remember Rex. He is home from the hospital, and he'll begin chemo treatments starting in July. And also Becky, remember them in our prayers. Also remember the Jodell Wilson family. This is Deanne and Sherry's brother. They lost a three-year-old granddaughter who passed away in her sleep this week. So the Hooten family and Jodell Wilson family. We have those who will be traveling this week, Chester and Charlie McCoy. They're going to be leaving and be gone next weekend. And Kevin and Donna are leaving Friday to go to Tennessee. So we want to pray for their safe trip and journey, that they reach destinations and their home safely. On the calendar, we've had this discussion before. The 13th, everyone is invited to our home up the road. And it's going to be a picnic get-together, food, fun, and fellowship. We do not know everybody's dietary needs, so we just ask that you bring what you would prefer to eat. We do have games for all ages. We have lawn games such as Connect Four, Corn Toss, Nine Square. We do have a trampoline for young people, however young you feel, however risk or dangerous you want to take it, you supervise and you jump at your own risk, shall we say. For the older people, we also have games such as tag, run through, hide and seek. So a little bit safer, you know. And then on the 22nd, Cassie Spear is going to be leading an hour-long ladies Bible study at Aaron Lee's house. It will be from 7 to 8 o'clock, each Tuesday evening, 7 to 8 each Tuesday evening at the Lee's house. That address is 6503 Harvard. If you need more details, get in touch with Cassie or Aaron. We do have a card that we want the members to sign, congregation sign for Rex. Let him know that we're still thinking about him. Also, we need to have a work day here at the building. Like to do it this month. So for the men of the congregation, or anybody, the women as well, if you want to come up here and help us, we need some painting on the outside. We need to do some touch-up on the building and yard work. We're looking at the 20th, 27th. Let me know which date works better for you. It might be where we start the 20th and may have to finish up on the 27th, depending upon the weather. But just get in touch with me and let me know if you're available on those dates. Are there any other announcements? Kevin? 88, somewhere around there. So, Robert, we wish you a happy birthday, and let's sing to Robert. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Robert. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Robert. We love you. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is for us to be here today to hear your word spoken to us. Father, to give us encouragement. Father, to give us strength. To guide our footsteps closer to you. Father, that we take what we have heard today and share with others the power that you possess, the power who you are, that you created everything, that you are in charge, you are in control. We see this every day. We see this in the seasons of change. And Father, it is our prayer that you help us and you guide us and grant us your wisdom and your insight. That we look not to the world, we look not to this earth. We look to you for our guidance. For you are the true God, the true and living God. Father, for the things in the world that are taking place, we turn it over to you. For in all things, it is your will be done, not ours. And we give you the glory and the praise that you so richly deserve. And we pray for forgiveness of times when we fail to say and do those things that you want us to do, that you instruct us to do through your word. That through your son, Jesus, who gave us the example, Father, forgive us when we fail you, when we come short. Forgive us of our trespasses and our sins. Father, we thank you for the rain that we receive, for answering our prayers. We thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us. And be with those that are traveling on the roads, that are going back to their homes, that are going to visit loved ones. We pray for a safe journey. And for those who have lost loved ones, we pray, dear Lord, that you comfort them with your loving care. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.